Well, good morning, church. You are the bride of Christ. You are the city of the living God. You are a treasured possession because of what Christ has done and is doing for you and through you. It's good to be with you this morning. If you have your scriptures with you, please turn to Matthew chapter 8, the gospel according to Matthew chapter 8. We've been walking through chapter 8 the last few weeks and learning a lot about the power of God's grace, the power of God's kingdom, that when Jesus is in the midst, there's hope. When he's in the midst, there's grace. When he's in the midst, there's forgiveness. And we're going to look at Matthew 8, verses 23 through 27. If you like to take notes, here's some things to jot down for yourself. This same passage, the same incident, is recorded in two other Gospels, Mark 4, 36 to 41, which we'll be referencing throughout the message this morning, and also Luke 8, 22 to 25. So that's Mark 4, 36 to 41, and Luke 8, 22 to 25. It's always good to get a little bit more context. Each gospel writer writes from their perspective, what God has laid on their heart to write. And when you see all the accounts put together, you get a little bit of a fuller detail. So that'll give you something to read later on today or this week. Before we begin, let us pray. Father, we pause for a moment to say thank you. Thank you that we're here. Thank you that you've put an interest in our heart to come to worship. A desire to see and to hear from the God who has made us. Lord, I pray each one here would know that they're here today because in your mysterious providence, you've brought them here. And you want them to hear from you. And so, Lord, we pray that your Spirit would do his mighty work of taking your word and calling your people to life, people to faith, giving people rest for their weary souls, to challenge us where we need challenge, to remind us of the great hope that we have in Christ Jesus. So, Lord, we pray that you would move and do these things, for we are weak, we are easily distracted, and sometimes we just miss it. So, Lord, we pray that you would restrain the evil one who would come and try to snatch up the word. We pray that you would take away the worries and the doubts of the world that would come, and any fruit that would come up, it would try to kill and choke out. But your Spirit would soften our hearts, make them good soil to hear and learn from the mighty Savior, the good shepherd of the sheep. So, Lord, we pray these things in his name. Amen. So Matthew 8, 23 to 27, this is God's word. And when he got into the boat, that's Jesus, his disciples followed him. Behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves, but he was asleep. And they went and they woke him, saying, "Save us, Lord, we are perishing." He said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, "What sort of man is this, that even winds and sea obey him?" One of the scariest things for me as a child was learning how to swim. It didn't make any sense. I didn't have any gills. Why would I jump in a big pool of water that's way over my head and think I'll be okay? It didn't make any sense. My feet seem like they're made for walking on hard substances. So again, why jump in this pool of water that's 10 feet and I'm only 4 feet? That doesn't make any sense. It scared me to death. I'm still not a very good swimmer, but God was gracious and I can swim. But if you need me to save you, it might not work out so well. But as we think about teaching a child to swim, maybe you've had experience, maybe not, maybe you know, there's a few ways you can do it. One way, just take that child and give them a pitch into the water, and hope for the best. Just let them splash around, flail around, and say good luck. Another way you could probably teach a child to swim is give them instruction, give them a good book to read, and say, see, do this, do this, do this, have at it, you'll be fine. And probably the best way and the most common way is you explain, you show, you challenge, but then you get into the water with them. And you say, you can trust me. I got you. I got you. And nevertheless, as a parent, as you're doing this to your child, someone, probably a sibling, is going to do a cannonball, right? Cannonball, and hit the water, and the water splashes into the little one's eyes as you're holding them, and they say, Daddy, Daddy, or Mommy, Mommy, I can't see you. Hold me, hold me, hold me. And you just say once again, I got you. Trust me. And then in the midst of some time, they'll start learning to do it right, move their arms just right, and then they can learn to swim, and they're going to learn a little bit more about themselves, that they have capabilities, they have things that they can do that they never thought were possible. And then with their relationship with their parents, it grows as well. My mom or my dad was right. I can trust them in this. And so the relationship grows, their ability grows, and it's a wonderful thing that they would never experience unless they went through that hard and fearful situation. With us, I think it's the same with walking with God. We start out with Christ with a simple faith, with a small faith, right? Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need your forgiveness. Jesus, I want to follow you. And normally that starts out pretty small, but it's on that solid rock of Christ that's secure. You can have small faith and know that you're going to heaven. But Jesus doesn't want you to stay there. He wants you to grow. He wants you to grow in what it means to be human. He wants you to grow in what it means to be a godly man, what it means to be a godly woman, a godly child in the home. And so he will bring things in our way that'll stretch us, that will challenge us. It'll seem horrific. It'll be a storm. It'll seem like the water's crushing in over us. And he says, trust me. I got you. I got you. Just hold on. Sometimes we're under the false assumption that if we just trust Jesus, it'll be just smooth sailing. Everything I need, all my desires, all my wants will be met. But we discover in this passage that getting into the boat with Jesus, sometimes it's going to be hard, rocky, and crazy, and you're going to think you're about to perish. And Jesus is saying, I got you. You can trust me. Trust in my leading and trust in my power. Even if the storm brings you to the brink of death, when you're ready to cross over into the next world, he says, I got you. For the Christian who knows Jesus Christ as Lord, when you pass, you have victory. Your soul is glorified. Your body rests in the grave until the resurrection. There is victory for you, even through the storm of death. This morning, we're introduced to these seemingly faithful followers. If you weren't here last week, we were introduced to some disciples that wanted to get into the boat with Jesus. They said, Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus says to the one, he says, foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. Jesus says, you just can't think it's going to be easy and comfortable if you follow me. It's not. And we don't know if that scribe got in the boat. It doesn't say. Another gentleman, it seems he has mixed allegiances. Jesus, I'll follow you, but first let me go bury my father. And Jesus says, follow me. And let the dead bury their own dead. He challenges this young man's allegiance. So we're not sure if they get into the boat. And we asked if we would get in the boat. So this morning we're introduced that Jesus gets in the boat and there's the disciples that go with him. In the Gospel of Mark we read that there's several boats. So there's a group of people going along with Jesus across the Sea of Galilee. And I can imagine after this event, as they get into the boat, they've just had a wonderful experience with Jesus. Just prior to this, there was this miracle crusade going on, if you recall. He's healing the sick with the word. He's casting out demons with the word. They're seeing his power in great display. And they're probably in that boat just saying, wow, this is great. This is awesome. And it is. And they were probably hoping for some rest. But Jesus, in his sovereignty and his providence, is going to bring a situation upon them that's a storm like no other storm they've never experienced. It's going to scare them emotionally. They think their lives is over with. And Jesus is going to teach them some things about their faith. They seem like they understand. They seem like they're ready to follow. And he's going to challenge them with something so hard and difficult above them to see where they're at. Will they trust him in it or not? So Jesus brings them to this experience that we would never wish upon anyone, so that they would realize more of their faith, but realize more of God's greatness and power through it. It doesn't minimize suffering. It doesn't minimize the difficulty. But Jesus will expose us and bring us through storms to see our weakness and to see if we can be like that faithful child that's holding on to that parent. Mommy, Daddy, hold me. Mommy, Daddy, hold me. And we can go to our God and say, Daddy, hold me. I don't know what's going on, but I'll trust your leading. And I'll trust your power. Again, it doesn't minimize the difficulty. But these disciples grow through this storm. And if they hadn't gone through it, they wouldn't be exposed to the greatness of Christ's power that they will see on display when he speaks to it. And there's great calm. So walking with Jesus, following Jesus, is a faith that says, trust Christ. He's holding on to you. He loves you. Trust his leading and trust his power. Trust him. We learn in this story that storms are components of the Christian's life. Not just physical, but it can be emotional, psychological, you name it. In verses 24, it starts off, it says, behold, there arose a great storm on the sea. And the boat was being swamped by the waves, but Jesus was asleep. And they woke him, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. Storms are a component of the Christian's life. It's interesting, the Sea of Galilee and the whole region there is an interesting in geography. So if you can think of the big Mediterranean Sea over here, it's sea level, and it's warm, warm water. And then you have the Sea of Galilee over here that's about 600 feet below sea level. And then if you go all the way down to the Dead Sea, it's 1,000 feet below sea level. So you have sea level, Mediterranean Sea, Sea of Galilee that's already about 600 feet below sea level. Then to the north, there's this huge mountain, Mount Hermon, that's like 9,000 feet above sea level. And as you know, at the top of a mountain, it's cold. So you have these valleys and ravines coming down towards the Sea of Galilee, this cold air smacking into the warm air of the sea, and storms were a common thing for the Sea of Galilee. They would just show up out of nowhere because you got this cold air hitting the warm air. And so the fishermen, the disciples, were used to this kind of thing. But they're not used to this storm. It says it's a great storm. The Greek is seismos megas. So if you're familiar with the word mega, you know you go to Sheetz, you get the mega cup. Super huge, right? Maybe you've heard the word seismograph, seismos, measuring an earthquake. So this is just not a thunderstorm going on. This is a great shaking of a storm where water is just, it can't stop. It's just going to keep crushing into the boat. And these seasoned fishermen are like, what in the world did Jesus just bring us into? They're scared to death. I would be too, right? There's no one in here that says, oh, it'd be okay. I trust Jesus. It's okay. No, you're thinking it's all over while Jesus is sleeping in the boat. This same Greek word, this idea of seismos megas, we see it in a couple places. It says in Matthew 28, behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and rolled back the stone So when it was the resurrection, it's the same word, this great shaking of the earth and other places as well. So this is a huge, massive storm that they're in the midst of. And this is a part of life. And it's even a part of the Christian life. You think, you know, if we follow Jesus, it'll just be okay. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. In Romans 5:3-5, it says, blessed are you when you encounter all kinds of trials. It just seems counterintuitive. It seems so backwards. But he says, blessed are you, for you will have hope. You will have steadfastness. You will have perseverance. There's things that Jesus is concerned about you as a human, as a godly woman, as a godly man, to grow you in what it means to be image of God. What it means to love, what it means to trust in God, what it means to love your neighbor, what it means to be stretched physically and emotionally, and see how things are so different. Your world's awakened to something new that you would have never imagined about yourself or about your God unless he would take you through it. Whatever storm you're in, or maybe you're not in one will come your way. Maybe physically, maybe emotionally. Know that it's not bad luck. No, it's not karma. It could be consequences of some actions and things, but the sovereign Lord is bringing you to it. And he wants you to trust him to guide you through it. Jesus has brought them to this place. Jesus doesn't say it's smooth sailing, but he wants to be the captain of your soul to expose you to the greatness of his power and to stretch you of what it means to love. To not be so focused on self, not be so focused on the things of this world, but to be expanded of our weakness, but the great power of Christ working through us. So storms are a component of Christians. Life. And as a faithful follower of Christ, you will experience times of fear and doubt. You're not alone. You're not alone. As a follower, you'll experience times of fear and doubt. In verse 25, they went and woke Jesus, saying, save us, Lord, we are perishing. And here's where it's interesting from Mark's perspective. In Mark 4:38, it says, Jesus was asleep in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? They had fear. They had doubts. In the midst of the craziness of the ordeal for them, in the midst of your craziness of life, whatever that storm may be, you may be tempted to say the same thing. Jesus, are you asleep? Jesus, do you care? Our fears assume the worst. If you're like me, I fear a lot of things, and I'm learning to trust God a little bit more day by day. But fears always assume the worst. You can hear the disciples almost saying, Jesus, I thought you were a friend of sinners. Jesus, I saw you doing those miracles. What is happening now? Why are we here? Why did you bring us to this point? What are you doing? Instead of the disciples maybe awakening Jesus, saying, Jesus, there's a storm going on. What should we do? Jesus, we need your strength. They say, do you not care? And that's where all of us are at times. Over 300 times in Scripture, there's commands to God's people to do not be afraid. To do not fear in some sort of form. Over 300 times, it's the most quoted command in Scripture. He knows us, and he loves us. He sees you as sheep without a shepherd, and he doesn't want you to fear. He doesn't want you to assume the worst. When things happen, when things are out of control, he does not want you to assume the worst. It seems impossible. It seems horrific. But he says, it's going to be okay in my plans and what I've designed for you, what I've designed for those around you and in this world. You can trust me. There's a passage in Mark 9 where there is a boy who was being seized by a demon, and they bring him to Jesus, and Jesus talks to him. He said to him, man, if you can, all things are possible for those who believe. Immediately the father of the child cried out, I believe, help my unbelief. And perhaps that's where you are this morning. Wrestling with God through the storms of life, through the storms of a situation, and it just seems like he's asleep and doesn't care. You believe, but you need help your unbelief. Go to him again. Just say, I trust you. I can't see what you're doing, but I know how you worked in the past, and I can trust you with the future. Wrestle with him. Cry out to him. Share your heart, share your sorrow, and just do the easiest and hardest thing to do. Trust him. Right? So simple, but so hard, especially for guys. We want to fix everything right now. As moms, we look over our children and grandchildren, we want them to be okay. We don't want them to go through difficult things, but you got to trust him. That's what Jesus is saying. But be real with him. Pour your heart out to him. Fears, sorrows, whatever. But trust him. Trust him. We learn in this passage that Jesus is our lead, what it means to be human in the midst of these storms. Jesus is our lead. In verse 24, it says, behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, and the boat was being swamped by the waves, but Jesus is asleep. In Mark 4:38, it says he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. I wish I had that for my bed. That is one comfortable cushion. If you, in this great storm of great shaking and waves coming in, you can just see Jesus laying there on this cushion, and he's just sleeping. He's okay. It speaks of his humanity. Our Lord is fully human. He got tired. He got hungry. And in the midst of this great chaos and this great storm, he's just sleeping. He trusted his life to his heavenly Father, come what may. He trusted him. We probably won't get this right as Jesus. Jesus is only the perfect one. But Jesus demonstrates in our humanity as we walk through life to pour our trust into the heavenly Father. Jesus' life was marked as one of a great storm, and it has a great culmination at the cross. As he goes to the cross for your sin, he goes to the cross to pay the penalty of your sin. He suffers unjust judges. He suffers brutal beatings. He's betrayed by a friend. He's betrayed by his disciples, and he goes to the cross, the great storm. Why? Because he trusted the plan of his Father. He's going to secure your salvation. He knew that he would be exalted, that he would be glorified, that he could go through that horrific storm knowing God would lift him up in the end. Jesus must be our lead. In the midst of life, Joni Erickson taught it. If you're familiar with her, she says, God allows what he hates to accomplish what he loves. God got no enjoyment of sending Jesus to the cross. That was horrible. That was horrific. But it secured the redemption of countless millions. It secured your forgiveness. It secured your eternal life. It secured your hope. And even in our struggles and in our storms where things seem like chaos and don't make sense, God can work through that. There's meaning. There's purpose. There's hope. It's not random. God will work through it. Jesus knew that as he walked his life fully human, no matter the situation, no matter the difficulties, he could trust his Lord. And Jesus will challenge us and demonstrate his power in the midst of it. He's our lead. but he challenges us in our faith and will demonstrate his power. It says in verse 26, he said to them, "Why are you afraid, O you of little faith?" In Luke, it'll say, "Where is your faith?" Then he rose and he rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was great calm. Great calm. They wake Jesus up. It's crazy. The water's splashing in. He says, "Where's your faith? Don't you trust me? I'm the same guy that did all those miracles back here on sea. I'm the one that said it was time to go to the other side. Don't you trust me?" And then he stands up and speaks. In the other gospel accounts, we just get the couple words. He looks at this storm that's horrendous, that's shaking, and he just says, "Peace, be still." And the waves of the Sea of Galilee become smooth as a sea of glass. And the winds stop. It's a great calm. There's peace. Demonstrating that Jesus is not only fully human, he is fully God. He can speak to the wind and to the raging sea, and it must obey. Jesus will challenge us, "Where is your faith?" And he reminds us again of his great power. "I can speak to the wind and the sea, and they must obey." And in your storms, and when it's time, he can speak, and there can be great calm. Again, even it brings you to the point of death, Jesus Christ has secured victory through death, that as you enter through that veil, there's great calm. Your soul is glorified. You're done with sin. He may take that storm away now, but if he doesn't, in time, he will. So we see this contrast of a great storm, seismos megas, and great calm, galena megas. And we're reminded to get our eyes off of the circumstances, to get our eyes onto the Creator. Jesus is not just sleeping. He is the powerful Creator God. And when he speaks, it is effectual. It must and will happen. Not sure what you're fearful of. Not sure what you're going through. But he's calling you again to trust him. You'll be exposed to the greatness of his power. You'll be exposed to the weakness that we have. But we'll grow a little bit in our faith as we walk through it, saying, "Yeah, I can trust him." You know, we talked about earlier that fears always assume the worst. You think about all the things maybe you've been fearful in life. How many times have that actually come true? Maybe a job interview, whether maybe a doctor's appointment or whatever it may be. Whenever you had great fear about a situation, most of the time, as Ed Welch says, they're false prophets. They're wrong. Because we think we can control the situation. We don't think God is awake and in control and powerful enough. And we're reminded here again, we don't need to fear. Jesus has you. He's got you. You can trust him. You can trust him. And through the storm, after the great calm, the gift of praise and the gift of awe will be yours after the storm settles. In verse 27, it says, "The men marveled, saying, 'What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him?'" Mark 4:41 says it this way, After the great calm, it says the disciples were filled with great fear. And they said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" We go from a great storm, we go to great calm, and now they go to great fear. Because they've just been awakened to reality of the wisdom, power, and strength of Jesus, and he's like no other. Who is this that can talk to the wave and the wind and say, "Stop," and it stops? Kids, when you're at the wave pool at this summer, go ahead and tell it to stop. See what happens. These disciples would have never experienced this unless Jesus brought them to this storm. And they got a glimpse of a man in front of them that can talk to a wind and wave, and it obeys, and they're blown away. And they got to take a step back. And Jesus says, "Trust me. Follow me. He is the great God." In Psalm 89:9, it says, "You roll the raging of the sea. When its waves rise, you still them." And if you're still taking notes, I'd like you to write down Psalm 107, 23 to 31. I'd read it, but I'll be mindful of your time. Psalm 107, 23 to 31, you'll read that, written thousands of years before this event. And if you're like me, you'll scratch your head and you're like, "Wow, I think this is talking about this event." And it talks about the great God, how he brings them to a storm and the waves are crashing, but then he delivers them. And they're filled with awe and wonder. And this is about Jesus, a great prophecy about him. Jesus is more than just a friend of sinners. He is the great God. He is the great I am. And he says, "Trust me." So again, if you're not in a storm, there's probably one that will come. If you're in the midst of it, he says, "Trust me. I got you. I want to stretch you in what it means to be image of God. I want to stretch you in what it means to trust me as your Savior and Lord. And I want to expose you to my power in a way you would have never imagined, my sustaining grace." As 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "This light momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison." Another way to say it, an old saint wrote it like this: "My faith can sleep on no other pillow than Christ's omnipotence. My faith can rest on no other pillow than Christ's omnipotence." You can rest. You can walk through life. You can trust in knowing that Jesus is the sovereign Lord, that he is all wise, he is all powerful, and he's all good. And he says to you, and he says to me, "Trust me. I got you. I want to show you some things about who I am. I want to expose some things about yourself that needs change to see my greatness, to see your weakness, and to find your joy." This is all found in the person of Jesus Christ. If you don't know him this morning, come talk to me. He's the God of hope. He's the God of peace. He is the God of forgiveness. If you have guilt, he takes it away because of his work on the cross. If you fear death, he can take it away because he has overcome the grave. If you're struggling in relationships, he's given your word, his word to guide you. You need to know him. You need to get in the boat with him. It'll still be crazy at times, but he'll show you some things about himself that you wouldn't have dared to miss. And be thankful that you walked through them. Receive him and know him today. Let's pray. Father, we take a moment to pray. Lord, this is easy to say, but hard to live. For we know we are weak, we know we are frail, and we hate pain. But Lord, sometimes you take us through storms to awaken us to a greater reality of your wisdom, of your power, of your glory. So Lord, I pray that you would do that this morning. Lord, I am mindful of this Memorial Day weekend. There's probably some here that have lost loved ones, some who have lost loved ones in war and battle. I pray in your spirit you would bring comfort. Lord, that they would be respected as they gave their sons and their daughters to serve and to defend our freedoms and our country, that we would give them great honor and respect. But Lord, reveal yourself in a greater way to these people that are here, that will think and will wonder as they will miss their loved ones. Bring them that peace that surpasses all understanding. Guard their hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, we pray. In his name, amen.